Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, yo, yo. What up, everybody? This is Lee from Lee and Keys Real Talk. We got a good one tonight. We got a preview UFC 284. We got champion versus champion, number one versus number two, in the pound-for-pound rankings this weekend. Hey, this is going to be – this fight has the makings to be a great fight. Has the makings of being a great fight. We also got Yair versus Emmett for the vacant, what's that, lightweight belt? Interim lightweight belt, I guess. So, hey, what's going on, Keys, man? How you doing today, bro?
Yo, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, bro.
It's interim featherweight title, and I think they're trying to set up. Before any of that, I'm doing good, bro. I'm doing good. My bad. I'm chilling, man. I'm ready to go. UFC 284 is this weekend. I was tweeting it out a couple days ago how this is, it was like a day or two ago. I was tweeting from my page, at Lee and Keys Real Talk, by the way, follow us on Twitter. I was tweeting from my page. And I was just saying that this is the first fight week in a good amount of time that I've been locked in on the countdown and the media they're doing and basically the whole press week, you know, it's the first event in a while that I've been locked in on the fight week, because that's usually what I do. If there's going to be a pay-per-view, I'm usually watching all the fight week content. You know what I mean? At least most of it, not everything, but most of it. I'll probably check out the countdowns. I always watch the press conference. You know, maybe check out some of the media day interviews, any other, like, you know, Mac Life interviews that happen on the side or whatever, you know, Q&A, whatever they do. Usually I'm locked in, but it hadn't been like that for a while. You know, I just wasn't really as into, you know, into some of the cards as much lately. But this one has got me locked back in. So, yeah, man, UFC 284, you know, 3 days out, this, you know, for all the belts, not literally, but figuratively, you know. Let's go.
Yeah, man. So, hey, we got to do a little bit of housekeeping before we jump into 284. Last week, me and you thought that the coaches for the Ultimate Fighter would be Ferguson and McGregor. It turns out that it's McGregor and Chandler. I think I'm a little bit more excited about McGregor and Chandler than I was McGregor and Ferguson, but I'm not too much more excited. How do you feel about the coaches now being McGregor and Chandler?
I think my thing with that is that it's definitely better than Conor and Ferguson, because one thing I was saying last weekend, if anyone disagreed with this, I think it's just it'd be the copium. You know what I mean? It'd be like the hardcore. I mean, we've done lists before, and you said who's your favorite 155er? Tony's my favorite 155er. So I feel y'all, but at the same time, I think part of someone being your favorite is admitting when they got to take a knee. You know what I'm saying? I think admitting, okay, I think this is the right move for him. You know what I'm saying? And I don't think a fight with Conor is the right move for him. You know, I think I have other things, you know, I look at for Tony. You know, I don't think, you know, hyping a guy up like, oh, you know, do you really believe he's in a place right now in his career to be fighting Conor McGregor? It's like, really? You know what I'm saying? With the recent performances, it's like, come on, man. Like, don't do that. You know what I mean? It's like you guys, you know, you're thinking of, you know, 2017, 2018 Ferguson, like you wanted him to fight Conor. You know what I'm saying? I don't think you really want this one to fight Conor. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're not doing that. And so I definitely like this one better than that. I'll definitely be watching it. That's pretty much my thoughts on it. I mean, it's not really like who I would have wanted to be the coaches, because I don't really watch tough. That's not really my thing. I've only watched like clips from previous seasons. I've never even really watched the show before, so I don't really have a preference of like, oh, who should have been the coaches. But yeah, I can easily say I like this one better than Conor and Tony.
Yeah, I'm slightly more in favor of Chandler versus McGregor. Only thing is, when it comes to the fight, we all know that Chandler is a first-round fighter. Anything past the first round, it just seems like he just doesn't have it. And we're being honest, he got lucky with the knockout with Ferguson because Ferguson was actually winning that fight until Chandler caught him with the little kick to the face. I just don't think that he might keep it. It might be exciting in the first round, but then I think it turns into the Gaethje fight. I think, you know, what Gaethje do? Gaethje weathered the storm in the first round, but then after the first round, he just started piecing Chandler up. It was like Gaethje did whatever he wanted to do, and if Conor comes in there, any semblance of being a whole Conor, he can do the same thing to Chandler. So, I mean, Chandler talked his way into this. You know, he's definitely going to get a good payday out of this, but I just don't see him doing anything impressive in this fight unless he KOs Conor in the first round or unless he decides to do something he hasn't done in the UFC, wrestle a little bit. So, but it is what it is. We'll see what happens. I don't know or not this is good news or bad news, Keys, but I know you like to keep up with the Kevins. Kevin Lee coming back to the UFC. Good or bad, bro?
I was definitely surprised by that one. I mean, I definitely didn't see that coming. I didn't even, but I'm happy about it, though. I mean, I'm interested to see what, you know, one of my first thoughts was, what weight division is he going to fight in? Because he was kind of, I think his problem was that he was bouncing between 155 and 170 too much. He couldn't decide where he wanted to fight at. And it was like, it almost seemed like every other fight he was in one or the other division. Like, he wasn't even doing two fights. It seemed like that. I could be wrong, but it almost seemed to me like he was like every other fight he was going down, going up, going down. And I think he needs to decide what weight division he's going to fight at. And even if he loses like two fights, it's like, who cares? I think you just need to acclimate to a division, you know what I mean? And just lock in on one division, you know? It's like all that bouncing divisions thing. It's like, oh, let me fight this guy, then go down here and take this big fight here and then move over and fight RDA over here. It's like, That's not it, man. I don't like that for him. You know, I think I'd rather see him, even if he takes a loss in his first, I'd rather see him lose trying to focus on one division rather than trying to, you know, take big fights in both divisions and, you know, suffer anyways, you know. So I definitely didn't expect it, but I'm definitely happy about it, man. Kevin stick together, bro. You know, I said the same thing about, you know, my boy Josh. He was saying, you know, he's rooting for Josh Emmett to win in the co-main event this weekend. And I said, you know, rightfully so. You know what I mean? You see a fellow Josh from the United States, I mean, American, born and raised, a fellow Josh, you know what I mean, to win UFC gold. I support you all the way. You know what? I might even want Josh Emmett to win just for that, just for my boy. You know what I'm saying? It's so that's the thing with Kevin Lee. Is that I always had belief in him, you know, and this is years ago. Like I remember the whole build up to the Tony Ferguson fight, and him and Tony had a good fight. You know, people forget that. Kevin
Lee was actually winning the fight.
Yeah, Kevin Lee almost got Tony out. Yeah, Kevin Lee almost got Tony out of there. I want to say in the first round. I want to say it was in the first round that Kevin Lee was like pretty much in top position, like ground and pound and Tony. And, you know, obviously the fight went, whatever it was, like second, third round submission that Tony got, but Kevin Lee, that they had a good fight there. People forget that. And Tony was in a good place at that time. You know, Tony was still, he was putting in work then, you know, that was 2017, 6 years ago. It's kind of crazy to say it. That was 6 years ago, but man, before I go off track, man, like I tend to do, just saying, I'm happy that you're back, Kevin Lee. Man, I got hopes for you. You know, I always have belief in him. I want to see him do good. So, only thing I'll say, he needs to choose the division.
And that's where I was going to go at. If he's coming, because they said it was between he was either going to to the PFL or he was going to coming back to the UFC. Kevin Lee was at lightweight when he challenged Tony. You know, after he fought Tony, he ended up going 2-5 in the UFC, becoming a free agent. And I don't think they cut him. I think he became a free agent and he left. But I'm with you. You have to pick a weight class, bro. You can't keep going up and down in weight, fighting this guy this way, fighting this guy that way. You have to let your body get used to you being at a certain weight and performing at a certain weight. We could say the same thing about Anthony Pettis. Anthony Pettis was doing that for a while, and he was getting starch every time he would go up, but he would be competitive when he fought down. And it was like, hey, bro, your record says you fight better at this weight than at this weight. But I'm glad Kevin Lee back, man. I guess us leads should stick together. You know, let's see what they do. Let's see who they give him in his first fight. And let's see whether or not he is going to stick with one weight. I think if he sticks with one weight, he got a chance to rejuvenate his career. But if I think if he jumps back and forth between weights, I just think it's just going to be is a recipe for disaster. One more thing. Actually, two more things before we get into UFC. Oh, man, Keith. This actually kind of hurt me, but actually I was kind of glad at the same time. Fedor Emelianenko got mauled by Ryan Bader in his final fight. First round TKO. Keith, I am so glad that Fedor Emelianenko is finally retired. It's long overdue. It's a guy that ran from the stiffest competition in Pride and ran from the stiffest competition in the UFC. And he will go down as a great fighter. Probably as a top five, probably as a Mount Rushmore heavyweight. But without ever fighting in the UFC, I really can't put too much stock in his career, man. Get knocked out by Dan Henderson, who was, what, a middleweight? Get knocked out by Ryan Bader, who is naturally a light heavyweight? Nah, man. Hey, enjoy your retirement. You had a good career. But there will always be an asterisk of why you didn't join Pride or the UFC, where the real competition was at in the heavyweight division. But you did have a good career. You did bring a lot of eyes to MMA. And that's it, man. He's definitely a Mount Rushmore heavyweight, but people always wonder what if.
Well, Saval, I didn't realize that, you know, Kevin Lee is like the fusion. Kevin Lee is like, he's a Lee and he's a Kevin. So us both rooting for him. Like, you got the Kevin. Yo, us both rooting for him is like, you got the Kevin sticking together and you said the Lee sticking together. I didn't even think about that. It's Kevin Lee. You know what I mean? That's like the fusion of our two names. That's epic. I hadn't. Somehow that did not dawn on me until you said it, that he's a lead too. That's kind of crazy. So I think we're both rooting for Kevin Lee to do good and to win his first fight back, I think. I think so. That's fire. And so shout out to Kevin Lee, man. Maybe, you know, we might have to get Kevin Lee on the show one of these days. You know, we'll have to see. Have our people talk to his people, you know.
Yeah, because that's definitely a good promotion tool, both being both our names and his name. So,
when I shoot him a message, I'm gonna have to bring that up, man. You know, I'm gonna have to bring that up. But also, shout out to Aljamain Sterling too. Aljamain Sterling responds to us, you know, pretty frequently actually. He responds to us a couple times, so shout out to him, man. We've been watching Aljamain Sterling since he was. We've been watching Aljamain since he used to wear the blue shorts. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Real ones, remember when he was rocking the blue shorts. So it is what it is. Shout out to Aljamain, bro. UFC bantamweight champ. I don't want to hear nothing.
I hear nothing from anybody.
The champ.
I think Keys and Aljamain Sterling know each other, and they just don't want to let it out the bag that they know each other. Because he do say on our timeline when Keys put a tweet out, he does stay in our time. I think him and Keys know each other. Keys just don't want to let me know that he know him. So he's just trying to keep that away from his boy. But it's all right. I get it. I understand.
What you saying? You think I got Aljamain's phone number?
Yeah, man. I think y'all know each other, man.
Why? Because you know, responded to us a few times now?
Yeah.
Yeah, hey. He's like, this got to be something up with that.
Hey, man, but look, man, let's jump to this real quick. You put a tweet out there, I want to say last week, about people going to cry or they're going to be mad or impressed if Jake Paul beats a real boxer and Tommy Fury. So, I went and I watched a couple of Tommy Fury fights. Tommy Fury is a boxer and profession only. I was not impressed with any of his skills. None. Footwork, defense, punching, nothing. I was like, oh, my God, this guy cannot – and then he's 8-0. See, that's why me and you have a problem with boxing. Boxing, y'all got to stop, man. Y'all really got to stop with these O's, man. Some of these dudes, y'all need to get them exposed early to get them up out that boxing ring, because now – you got guys like Tommy Fury thinking that he's a good boxer, man. This guy is trash, dog. This guy would have been better off having a longer amateur career than what he's doing right now in professional boxing. Look, I know people not boxing amateur ranks, but if you look at the guys that have went through the amateur ranks and did it the right way as far as, like, having at least 25 fights amateur, by the time they get up to the big leagues, they are ready. They have worked out the kinks in their game. You know, they know the little nuances of the sport, and they have learned the sweet science of the sport. Tommy Fury, dog. He looked more like Tommy Morrison in the last Rocky movie. What was that, Rocky V? Come on, man. So, Keys, yes, he's a boxer in profession, but a boxer as far as talent, I don't see it. Maybe you see it differently from me, but I don't see it at all. I used to be a big boxing fan. Now I only watch, like, the big fights, which suddenly happened now, boxing. But I don't see him as – I think Jake Paul beats him because I don't think my man got skills.
I was trying to tell you he was going to beat him. I'm glad you watched the footage and we can confirm that. He's going to smoke him.
Yeah, but I think my tweet back to you was, I was like, I would be more impressed when he beats a real boxer. And then you came back and said, Tommy Fury is a real boxer. So I went back and I was like, well, let me go see what this guy looked like. No, bro. He's not a real boxer.
Yeah,
he's only a boxer professional.
Yeah, so that's, see, you were saying it in a different way. What you meant by real boxer is you were basically saying, I want to see Jake Paul beat a good boxer. That's what you're basically saying. You're more saying that. I didn't say Tommy Ferry was a good boxer. I don't think he's a good boxer. I think, you know, I think the dude's average. You know, I'm not the boxing, you know, aficionado. That's you. But I just, from my, you know, novice, you know, rookie standpoint, of just of what I've seen in boxing and striking in UFC. So what I can see with dude, he is just average. You know, the guy is I only watched him fight, I think, one time. You've seen more footage on him than me at this point. You said you watched, you know, a couple of his fights. I've only watched, I think, one fight with him, and I'm pretty sure it went to a decision, and I didn't see anything. I was like, okay. Because especially with the name, when you put Fury on it, it's like, okay, like Tyson Fury's, you know, arguably – you know, the best boxer and, you know, one of the great heavyweight boxers. So it's, when you put Fury on it, it's like, I'm looking at it through that lens. It's like, all right, I'm expecting to see something here. You know, I'm expecting to see something special come out here. And when I watched this fight, I just thought he looked average. I didn't think, you know, he just cruised to a decision. I didn't see anything special about him. I didn't see any crazy combinations. I didn't see crazy speed. You know, there was nothing, you know what I'm saying? I didn't see a, you know, crazy right hand. I didn't see nothing. There was nothing there. So, you know, I think it's, when I said real boxer, I was just saying more of he is a professional boxer. That's what I was saying. You were kind of saying, I want to see Jake Paul beat somebody legit. That's almost more towards, you were saying, like, towards that side of the spectrum. I'm saying, he's beating someone that is a boxer, because before that, he's only fought in MMA fighters that went over to boxing and amateur, like, YouTube guys, you know, so he's not, that's, there's no professional boxers in there. I mean, you could argue Anderson Silva has a boxing record. He's boxed before, and then he did the UFC, then he went back to boxing. So you could argue that. But Anderson Silva is still more a UFC fighter, you know. He's done a couple boxing fights, but he's only just getting back in it, and he only, you know, he was really a UFC guy. He's an MMA guy. So he's an MMA fighter. And, you know, so, but I was saying, okay, professional boxer, Tommy Fury, check. But is he a good boxer? No. So, but either way, it's going to be, are people going to be crying when he beats both those guys? Yes.
And this KSI guy, right? He's a YouTuber too, right?
He's more of a YouTuber, but his thing, the thing that's a joke about him, and he's another one. I haven't watched anything about KSI. I haven't seen a fight of his. I actually watched the Tommy Fury fight before. I haven't watched KSI at all, but I know he hasn't fought anybody. You know what I mean? That dude is just, you know what was so crazy is I looked up DAZN. Like, we got DAZN, like Canelo's DAZN that, like, can, like, you know, the big time DAZN, like, really? And I looked at it one time, and I think it was on YouTube, or where did I see this ad? And DAZN was pushing KSI's. There was a KSI headline that DAZN was pushing, and they were saying, it was like an ad on a video, or it was like a headline somewhere, and you know, it was sponsored by DAZN Boxing. I think it was on their YouTube channel, and they posted on their YouTube channel, and they said KSI, you know, fights two guys in one night, or KSI scores two KOs in the same night. And I'm like, again, who though? First of all, it's kind of embarrassing that that's what DAZN is putting up on their YouTube channel. I have secondhand embarrassment from that. That's kind of crazy. That just goes to show that boxing is dead on your channel, so that's kind of crazy. And secondly is that two KOs in one night, I'm not impressed with that, because who did he fight? You know, he's fighting these kids that have never, you know, these kids have only done, like, sparring, and then they want to go in and fight. Like, these are not – he's just fighting dudes that, like, his last fight, I think he fought a gamer. He fought, like, a pro gamer. It's like these dudes are just coming off the street that, like, do other things, like, they're content creators or whatever, and, you know, he just, KSI is someone that actually is a content creator, but he trains boxing, and he's fighting dudes that aren't really training. They're just coming out of the woodwork to fight him, and it's like, ain't nobody impressed with that. Like, you're saying, DAZN saying he KO'd two guys, it's like, who cares? I'll KO those two guys in one night, too. What are you talking about? You know what I mean? Seriously, he's fighting guys with no technique. They got nothing. You know what I'm saying? He's fighting complete cans. You know what I'm saying? These are nobodies. You know, he's fighting gas station cashiers. You know what I mean? These are nobodies. So I ain't impressed with that, man. Jake Paul's gonna hurt that kid, because at least we can say this. Jake Paul has been, even though he was saying a legit boxer, a guy that's actually good, and Tommy Fury kind of sucks, but he's going to beat him anyway, at least Jake Paul's been fighting fighters. That's the difference you can make between him and KSI. KSI is calling Jake Paul out, but at least Jake Paul's been fighting fighters. At least he's been with guys that have KO'd guys. So that's the difference. You fight Anderson Silva, it's like, okay, he's not a boxer, but Anderson Silva's still a legendary fighter. You know what I mean? Tyron Woodley is still a legendary fighter. You know what I'm saying? So you're fighting guys with fighting legacies. You know, it's like, as where KSI is fighting guys that don't have any KOs on the docket. You know what I mean? They you know, these guys are probably, I don't know, man. Jake Paul at least fighting, he's beating fighters. You know what I'm saying? Is where KSI has not fought a fighter yet. He doesn't have one fighter on the docket. You know, so KSI is going to embarrass him, man. Jake Paul is going to embarrass him.
Yeah. Plus, one thing I have to say, I have to give it up. Jake Paul takes this thing seriously, man. He's got better. Every fight you see, he's getting better and better and better. He's taking it more seriously with each fight. Well, some of these guys, I think they're coming out with the payday thing, or with the big head saying he really can't be that good. They're looking at the guys, you know, for it, and, you know, going in his way. He can't do that to me. This dude is actually learning the sport of boxing on the fly, and he's getting better at it. So, yeah, I see him going 2-0 against Fury and KSI. But I want to see him, what he does in Octagon, too. So we shall see what happens. Well, all right, bro. Big fight card this weekend. Well, I ain't gonna say big fight card, but when I look at this card, man, I'm really not impressed with the overall card. But there are two titles on the line. There's a couple names up here that I like. I like Randy Brown. I like Minifield. I like Crew. I think that's a good fight. Who else? Oh, damn, was that it? Yeah, that might be it for me. Yeah. No, who is Tyson? What's this guy's name? I know this Pedro kid. Yeah, Tyson Pedro. Yeah, I know him too. But outside of that, man, this card is, to me, really should be a pay-per-view card, but I get it. And you get two title fights on it. You know, we get Yair -180. Going against Josh Emmett at +155. I thought Emmett would open up as a favorite on that one. I'm kind of shocked on that one. And Islam is a -410 going against Volkanovski at +320. Where you want to start at, bro? How you want to do this tonight?
I mean, let me look at this. I say Tyson, yeah. I say we go like this. I say we start with the main card, but before that, let's both give our fight to watch on the card. Both give our fight to watch, and then we'll jump into our main card breakdown predictions.
Okay.
You want me to go first for my fight to watch?
Yeah, go ahead and start.
Cool. So I'm gonna go right in, man. And you know what? My fight is on the main card. It's this Jack Della Maddalena versus Randy Brown, man. I think this is a bang, you know. This appreciate this being the featured fight, honestly. I mean, I don't think it needed to be the featured fight, but since this card's kinda light with names, I think it makes sense being there. I think this could be, you know, this could have even been like the fight to open the main card type of fight. Randy Brown is a banger, man. Randy Brown has got skills. So this is a dude that I've doubted a few times, and then he always He's got multiple weapons. You know what I mean? This dude, he's diverse in his skills, and he comes out and puts on bangers. Randy Brown, so him being at a plus 255 versus, I know Maddalena, people are really high on Jack Del and Maddalena right now, but I don't know, man. Randy Brown at a plus 255, Randy Brown's tough, bro. So this is one of those ones, that, and that's a big reason why I got my eye on this fight, because Jack Del and Maddalena, I've seen some footage of him. He's got an interesting boxing style. This is a guy I think you would be interested in as well. I haven't seen a full fight from him yet. I've only seen highlights, and he looks pretty good. So that's one thing. And then, of course, like I said, Randy Brown is a beast, and this is a dude I've counted out in a few fights, and he smashed, you know, certain guys that I predicted he would lose to, and he showed up in fights that I didn't really think much of him, you know, going into. You know, he showed up in those and put on crazy fights, so win or lose. So this is interesting, man. This is my fight to watch. Jack Maddalena versus Randy Brown, man. Feature fight. Let's go.
You know what, man? I'm going with Minifield and Crew, man. That's the fight I want to see, man. I kind of like the Minifield. I like what I see in Minifield. You know, he's won four of his last five fights. Last win was against Misha Cherkinov, knocked him out in the first round. You know, he has a win over Paul Craig. But he got some bad losses, man. He lost to Devin Clark, lost to Ovince St. Preux. But then he beat Ed Herman. He beats Misha. So I want to see, can he keep it, can he, you know, run his win streak to three? Crew is definitely a formidable opponent. I think me and you were saying something about light heavyweight. I think it's light heavyweight. Yeah, Jimmy Crew. Yeah, man. So, Crew, man, it's that something about him that you just never know what you're going to get. Well, what Forrest Gump say, he like a box of chocolates. You just never know what you're going to get. And he's the same way, man. You know, he started off hot in the UFC, and now he done lost three of his last five fights. You know, he lost to Jamal Hill, who's the champ, got knocked out. He lost to Anthony Smith, TKO, Dr. Stoppage. And he lost to Misha by submission. So I think this is a make it or break it fight for Crew, man, in the UFC. But man, I really want to see Minifield get it together, put it all together, and see what he can do. And what is it? And what's probably one of the worst divisions in the UFC, the light heavyweight division. So if he can put together about two or three wins, he might see himself in the title picture, man. But you can't lose to Jimmy Crew, you know, who's coming off of two losses by basically KO. So come on, Minifield, let's see what you got this weekend. Let's see if you're going to step up and, you know, do what you're supposed to do and keep the ball rolling, man. That's the fight that I want to see, bro.
And that's the first fight on the main card. So I'll just go ahead and give my prediction for that fight.
But I did want to say something about your fight. Randy Brown is a beast. Great last name. Only thing I worry about Randy Brown is sometimes he doesn't fight his fight. He normally goes in there and he lets his opponent dictate what kind of fight he's going to fight. So, Randy, this is the type of fight that you can't come in there and let this guy, you know, dictate the type of fight. You have to come in and put your will to him. So, yeah, man, I don't know why the odds look like this in this fight, why he's the underdog. But if I was a betting man, I would be putting money on Randy Orton. But let's go, man.
Yeah. So I'm going to go in and say, you said Alonzo Menafield is, he's 4-1 in his last five. Is that what you said?
He's 1-4 of his last five fights.
I think I'm going to go with Jimmy Crute, man. I like Jimmy Crute. I like him as, and he's a favorite, but that doesn't mean. I'm going to go with Jimmy Crute, though. I think he's solid, bro. I think Jimmy Crute, I'm going to probably go Crute with the second round TKO, man. I think, actually, you know what? No TKO. I changed my mind. I think Jimmy Crute, this is going to go three rounds. I think Jimmy Crute wins in a good fight, unanimous decision.
And I'm going the other way. I'm going to Alonzo Menafield. I think he gets it done, second round TKO. I think Crute is the more desperate fighter coming in this fight. And sometimes when guys know that their career or their contract in the UFC is on the line, they do come in and fight with a sense of urgency. I think he comes out and he does that. But I just think Menafield is just going to be too much. I go with Menafield, man, second round TKO.
All right, this next one, Justin Taffa and Parker Porter. I don't know this Parker Porter guy at all. I have no idea who this is. So it's kind of hard for me to pick one. Yeah, I've never even heard of this guy until I saw him on this card. So it's kind of hard for me to pick this. Justin Taffa, I mean, he's another guy that I don't pay attention to in the heavyweight division. I've seen his fights, but I really couldn't tell you much about him. I mean, this is heavyweight. This is one of those ones where it's like heavyweight fights are usually short. Some guy's going to get caught this fight. You know, we could just go ahead.
I want to say this Paul Porter guy. He did lose to Almeida, Jelton Almeida. He lost to him by submission. But I want to say this dude's been a former football player, man. I could be wrong, but I want to say he's been a former football player.
I'm going to go with him, man. I don't know him, but I'm going to go with him to win, bro. I think Parker Porter is going to show us something, bro. I have no idea. Parker Porter, I have no idea who you are, bro. But I'm sure you got skills, and I'm picking you to win this fight, bro. So shout out to you, Porter. Let's go, man. I think he's going to sweep Justin Taffa, man, in the first round. I think it was a first-round KO, bro.
Yeah, I'm looking at Taffa. He's 3 out of his last 5 fights. He's lost by KO, split decision, and unanimous decision. And when he's won, it's been via the first round knockout. I'm going to go with Taffa, man. I'm going to say Taffa gets it done, first round knockout. I think if it goes past the first round, he's in trouble. So I think he goes in there, gets it done late in the first round. He catches Porter, and he finishes him. Yeah, I'm going with Taffa, man. First round KO. And if you ask me a level of confidence in that pick, it's very, very low.
All right, I'm going to go like this. Jack Della Maddalena versus Randy Brown. Randy Brown's that's a guy I like, man. That's not one of my guys, but it's like he's one of my guys in a way because I do like why he likes to fight, man. I like watching him fight. So Randy Brown's gonna scrap, bro. But Maddalena is a guy that I don't really know. This is a guy I've only seen highlights of him, so it's kind of tough to pick this. I'm going to go out on a win and say Maddalena. I'm going to put some belief into what you said and kind of how Randy Brown kind of lets the fight, he kind of lets his opponent dictate where the fight goes to. And I think Maddalena, from what I saw in his highlights, he has like a pretty pretty, like, awkward, like, unorthodox type of boxing style, you know, and I think that we're going to see that here. I think Madalena will win this by unanimous decision in a dominant fashion.
Madalena is on a 13-fight win streak, but out of those 13, four of them have been in the UFC. You know, most of them have been by KO. He got one submission win in there. Most of his wins have been by KO or TKO. But I think this is his first time fighting somebody of pedigree, somebody with a name. I'm going with Randy Brown in the upset, man. I'm going Randy Brown, unanimous split decision, in a very tough fight, a fight that probably could be possibly fight of the night. I'm taking Randy Brown in the upset, man. Sometimes when these guys join the UFC, you know, the UFC do kind of, if they see something in you, they'll give you the right fight setup. But they only can hide you and protect you so long. And I think this is the fight where we see if this guy is for real. And I'm going to say he isn't. And he loses to in a very spirited contest against Randy Brown. I got Randy Brown in a split decision, man.
Next one. Here we go. First title fight of the night. First of two. Featherweight interim title bout. And one thing I want to say about this is I think it's so interesting how, and this was the first thing, when they announced these two fights, this was the first thought that I had. Because they announced Islam and Volkanovski first, and they announced Yair and Josh Emmett. This is the first thought that I had, and it was this. They want to set up Volkanovski's next opponent. You know what I mean? I feel like they don't know if he can win. And really, you never want to, obviously, we don't know that. I don't know that, but that's just, That's what I think it is business-wise. It's like, okay, if he doesn't win, say he doesn't win and he goes back down to 145, we need to have the next guy ready because we need him to fight. You know, his last title defense would have been in July. So this is February. That's 7 months ago. They want a featherweight title fight. So that it's like, okay, set up the guy to be right there so that, you know, if he loses, we already have the next featherweight title fight that he can jump into when he's ready. And I think that's exactly what happened here business-wise. I don't know that. That's my speculation. That was the first thought I had when they announced this and then interim featherweight title. It's like, okay, they want to set it up because you don't hold divisions back when guys move to other weights and then they don't have it figured out when the guy comes back or if he doesn't come back. So at least here, either which way it goes, even if Volkanovski is to win, you would have it set up where it was, you know, you could make the interim champion could be the real belt, or you could have the interim champion fight, you know, another guy in for the undisputed title or whatever it would be. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, either way you have it set up. But Yair Rodriguez, I think Josh Emmett's a guy that has really shocked me years ago, you know. And it's surprising how much hate he gets. I don't fully understand the hate. I think Josh Emmett, I mean, it's not like I've seen every one of his fights, but from what I've seen him, he does have a fun style. I don't know where people get to the hate. I don't really understand it, but I'll say either way, I think Yair Rodriguez beats him. I think Yair Rodriguez is just a ninja, bro. This guy, I mean, he's better than I thought he was. You know what I mean? I think there was a time where I felt like he had a lot of hype behind him, and it was too much hype. That was when he was coming up. He had a lot of hype. I thought he was overhyped, and then he did. Who did he fight? I think he fought Frankie, man. I think that was years ago. They had him fight. Was it Frankie that he fought?
Yep, and got home.
And Frankie smoked him. Was that what it was?
I think
he fought Frankie. Frankie smoked him. And then that kind of derailed the hype train. And then, like, he didn't fight a lot, and then he came back. And then I feel like when they wanted him to fight the guy that looks like Abe Lincoln? What's that guy's name? Zabit. They want him to fight Zabit. So they kept hyping him and Zabit, and I'm like, man, Yair Rodriguez ain't even that good, man. Like, what? Why are they making him seem like this is like the Habib and Tony of 145? Like, you know, I wasn't really buying the hype on either one of the guys, you know, Abe Lincoln or Yair. But and then they try to hype him again when he KO'd Korean Zombie at the last second, and that's a dope knockout. He knocked him out at the buzzer. And that was a buzzer beater KO. That's a historic KO. It was crazy. I remember jumping out of my seat at Buffalo Wild Wings. Like, you got all respect that? For that, man. He's a tough guy, bro. You were at that fight?
Yep, it was in Denver.
Yeah, that's crazy, man. That was, he gets the credit, but it's just they hyped him after that, too. I feel like he always gets hyped all the time. And just, I don't think he's as good as he gets hyped to be, but I do think he's better than Josh Emmett. And I do think he beats Josh Emmett here. I think Josh Emmett lost to Calvin Kattar. I watched that fight, and I was like, yeah, I can see why people said Kattar got robbed. You know what I mean? I think it was a back-and-forth fight, and I could see it going either way, but I definitely think Kattar was jabbing him to death, man. I think Kattar had the jab going. I think where the UFC doesn't really like to give credit to the jab a lot. You know, they want to see overhands. You know, they want to count which ones are significant strikes and which aren't. I think if you were looking at Kattar's jabs, which he was landing all night on Josh Emmett in that fight, you would go back and say Kattar won that fight. So I just think Yair is better than Josh Emmett, and Yair's going to go ninja on him, man. I think Yair, I don't think it'll be a finish. I think Yair Rodriguez's unanimous decision is where I'm going at. I think he'll put on a big performance.
The thing is, I look to the next fight. Which one of these guys can give Volkanovski the better fight? Is it Emmett or is it Yair? I think Emmett has hit a hot streak in his career, but when I look at the guys Yair has fought, he's fought Dan Hooker, Andre Fili, BJ Penn, Frankie Edgar, Korean Zombie, Jeremy Stephens, twice, Mike Holloway, Brian Ortega. This guy has fought top-level guys. Not saying Emmett hasn't, but Yair has fought top-level guys. Now, do I think Yair could beat Volkanovski? I don't think so. Because of what I've seen Mike Holloway do to Yair Rodriguez. He beat him up real good. Beat him up really, really good. So, Josh Emmett. I can't pick him, bro. I can't pick him. Although he is on a nice little win streak. He's on a 5-fight win streak. Beat Michael Johnson, Dan Ige, Calvin Kattar. Ricardo Lamas used to be a name. I remember me and Key was hyping him up way back in the day. But outside of that, I can't pick Josh Emmett, man. I just can't pick him. Yair Rodriguez should win this fight. I'm going to go with Yair winning this fight. I'm going to go third round submission. I'm going to go with the Key's cousin on this one. I'm going to go third round submission, Yair Rodriguez. But I don't think Yair or Josh could beat Volkanovski, which once again puts this division in a tough spot because Max Holloway is the best guy in this division, and we know he's not going to get another title fight against Volkanovski. So basically you're going to keep running these guys up against Volkanovski that can't even beat Holloway. So this division is in a tough spot, man. In a way, I just wish Volkanovski would just move up, but that's probably not going to happen, you know, unless he wins the fight. But I'm going with Yair, man. I think Yair gets it done, man, third round submission. is Josh Emmett West Street, and he'll be the new interim featherweight champion, man. I got Yair.
Now let me hit you with this possibility, right? What if we get a split draw or a majority draw? What happens then? Who's the interim champ? Because I could believe these two guys could fight to a draw, man. I think, like, that thought just hit me while I was listening to you. I was like, wait a second. What if they fight to a draw? I could really believe it. These two dudes, like, we both think it'll go to a decision. I think it'll be a back-and-forth fight. I don't expect either guy to dominate the other, you know. I think this is going to be fight of the night for me. This is going to be the fight of the night, you know, in a classic, you know. This is going to be one that has replay value. And so I just think the way these two guys are, they're both really durable. Neither one has been knocked out in the UFC. I think that these dudes could fight to a draw, man.
And that will be the UFC's worst nightmare. Because if Max Holloway beat Arnold Allen and these dudes fight to a draw, what do you do? Because if I'm looking at the rankings, Max Holloway is number one contender. Yair Rodriguez is two. Ortega, three. Arnold Allen is four. Emmett, five. Korean Zombie, six. Calvin Kattar, who actually lost to Josh Emmett. Then you got Giga Chikadze. And you got some of these up-and-coming guys down at the bottom, including Bryce Mitchell, Sadiq Yusuf, and Alex Barboza. Edson Barboza is still in there. So what the UFC wants one of these guys to win this fight, bro. They do not want to put an interim belt on Max Holloway, man. Because let's say if they do fight to a draw, is the Arnold Allen Max Holloway fight now for an interim title? Man. Oh, geez. The UFC don't want that, bro. I think that would be a nightmare for the UFC if Yair and Emmett fought to a draw.
Yeah, man, Holloway and Arnold Allen are going to fight. And Holloway, yeah, they obviously don't want to have him. Yeah, we can't have him fighting Volkanovski again, man. That's too much. We just saw Figueiredo and Moreno fight for a fourth time, and we're all done. I think we're all done with that. I don't know, man. I really don't have the answer. I have no idea. I think if you're the UFC, you're hoping Arnold Allen beats Holloway. So then, you know, and you're hoping there's a winner in this one. So then you could do, you know, have Arnold Allen just kind of waiting for the winner of Volkanovski and the interim champion. I think that's, if you're the UFC, you hope it plays out like that. But if Holloway wins and then these dudes fall to a draw, I don't know, man. I would just be out of control wildness. I don't even know what to say, man. But Dana White gets paid the big bucks to figure that. You know, Sean Shelby, they get paid the big bucks to figure that stuff out.
I think the only thing that might save them is if Yair wins and Max somehow loses to Arnold Allen. That way you can kind of sort of move Max out of the title picture. He is not even in the title picture. Basically, what you do is if Yair wins, you have Volkanovski fight Yair. You have Arnold Allen sit back in the weeds and wait. And then, basically, our man Max is basically going to be, man, I hate to say this about him, but he might be putting the gatekeeper role. Depending on who the champion is. As long as Volkanovski the champ, he's not going to get a title shot. So maybe 2023 is when I get my fight, man. I've been clamoring for Max Holloway versus Tony Ferguson for about 2 years. Maybe this the year Holloway moves up because he doesn't see himself in the title picture, man. And he just moves up. And maybe this the year I get my Max Holloway versus Tony Ferguson fight. And I'm probably thinking that it's not going to be as good as it would have been 2 years ago. But, yeah, man. Yeah, Keys, man, if they fight to a draw, that means Keys put it out there, ladies and gentlemen. But, yeah, bro, that is a serious nightmare for the UFC if Yair and Josh Emmett fight to a draw. Man, that's terrible. Because you saw what they did with Jan and Ankalaev when they fought to a draw. They end up moving it to Glover and Jamal. So, man, I am going to be thinking about that tonight now, Keith. Thank you, bro. Appreciate you.
Hey, that's what I'm here for, man. Yeah. That's what I'm here for. We got to, you know, put these puzzles out there, get the mind working. You know what I mean? How are we going to put these matches together? I think me and you could be matchmakers for the UFC, man. What you think?
Hey, man, I'm quite sure that, you know, down the road, and even looking back at some of our past shows, we had made plenty of fights for the UFC. And it's like they either had somebody listen to our show or follow us on Twitter. And matchmaking, if you really think about it, Keys, is really not that hard. If you stick to the rankings. If you stick to the rankings and you rank and you make the rankings mean something, matchmaking ain't that hard. But the UFC has seemed to cater towards making fights that they feel fans would clamor to go see or buy. And it makes the rankings kind of like secondary when they should be actually the primary way of making fights. But I'm quite sure, you know, if they sat down and said, yo, Lee and Keys, can y'all put a card together for us? Give us a prelims and a main card. Yeah, we can sit down and do that. That's easy. That's easy. All right, Keys, we got to pick the main event, man. Who you got?
All right, I'll go first, man. This is easy for me, man. I've been told y'all, but yo, Islam's winning this, man. It's just, it's not. This is a fight that I don't need any breaking down, man. Islam's gonna win this. There's nothing you can really do, man. It's too much. You know what I'm saying? This is just, it's like the same song and dance, and I love Volkanovski. You know what I mean? He's like in my top three, maybe top two, like favorite fighters right now. But this is the growth of Lee and Keys Real Talk over the years. You know what I mean? We used to be a more subjective show. You know what I mean? There used to be more, you know, heart picks. You know what I mean? Now we tend to go more with brain picks. You know, Lee was already tapped in with the brain, you know, with the logic picks. I was more of the subjective one at a point. But I think overall we were a bit more subjective show. And we still give our opinions, but I think we've gotten a little bit, well, at least with the fight predictions, I think it's good to be a bit more fact-based and take your heart out of it because, you know, I've walked out of bars. I've walked out of, you know, my homies, you know, I've walked out of places I was at with my head down, bro, when my favorite fighters lost and when I had my heart in it. You know what I mean? That shit hurts, bro. It really hurts. Like, I remember when Tyron Woodley lost to Usman. Man, I didn't even watch the Jones fight. I didn't even stay for Jones. I left, bro. I walked out with my head down. I was fucking, I wanted to die, bro. I was like, oh, my God. When Woodley lost to Usman, I was sick. And then when, what's another one? Woodley lost to Burns, I was sick. Then when Ferguson, one of the other ones, when Tony lost to Gaethje, walked out with my head down, bro. That was terrible. That was really terrible. I was down bad. So it's just, those are a couple examples, but when Conor lost to Mayweather, when Conor lost to Habib, like, I remember kicking everybody out of my crib. I went to bed with my girl. I was disgusted. I was like, oh, my God. So when you have your heart in it, man, it's fun, but it hurts. You know what I mean? That's what I've learned. So when you just kind of be like, okay, analyze the fight, you know, here's what's more realistic instead of picking with my heart, you know, the pain is not, it's not as bad. You know what I mean? You don't get your feelings hurt when, because one of your favorites, got rolled, you know what I mean? And I feel like that's going to happen to Volkanovski. He's going to get rolled. And it's like, Islam's probably going to make it look easy, man, honestly. I think so. You know, there's just, you can't just come out the gate and start, like, training, you know, for a certain style. It's like Islam, you know, these dudes been doing this, you know what I mean? They've been doing this the whole life. And the Sambo is just too much, man. So, you know, I think Islam, you know, is going to make it look easy. I think, you know, it's probably going to look like the Oliveira fight, to be honest. I mean, Volkanovski maybe will give a little bit more, but I don't see this going past the third round, man. I think, and hey, I would love to be wrong, you know what I mean? But this is my prediction. I think it doesn't go past three rounds. I'll probably go, to be real, man, I think, I want to say Islam's second round submission. I want to say second round submission, but damn, I also want to say third round. Just to, but that would just be to give some leeway. That would just be because I rock with Volkanovski. I want to say, like, all right, he's going to stay in there for an extra round. But I don't know, man. I think, I'm sticking to my guns, man. Islam's second round submission, man. I think he's going to roll him, bro. It's not going to be, you know what I mean? There's that fantasy we all get into of like, oh, but if he can stay standing, it's like, not going to stay standing, man. You know what I'm saying? He's getting taken down, you know, and it's, these dudes are so dominant. You know what I mean? It's hard. Like, you're not the same person once they let you, by the time you get up, you're not the same. You know what I mean? You get back up and you're like 50% of the man you were. You know what I mean? And then they take you down again and you get up again, you're like 25% of the man you were. And then now it's like, now they're landing shots on you because you're exhausted and it's like, then you get taken down again because you're exhausted, and now you don't even get up again. And if you do, it's like you're like 10% of the man. And it's like then you get taken down again because you got nothing. You know what I mean? There's no defense. There's nothing. So, yeah, man, I think Islam, you know, much love to Volkanovski, man, but I think Islam rolls him, bro. I think he's about to make it look easy. It's going to be second-round submission, bro.
I'm with you, man. As much as I respect Volkanovski, he does have a reach advantage by 1 inch. He's the shorter guy in this fight. 5'10 going against 5'6, a natural 155er going against a guy that's been fighting at 145. I don't think Volkanovski has seen a guy that's going to pressure him as much as Islam to get the fight to the mat. Against Max Holloway, Max Holloway just wants to stand up and bang with you. You know, Korean Zombie just want to stand and bang. We saw him get in trouble against Brian Ortega when Ortega decided to take him down. And I ain't saying Ortega is great on the mat, but Islam has seemed to be superior on the mat. Man, I hate to slight Volkanovski, man. I hate to slight him, man. I think Islam pressure and taking him down and making him carry his weight is going to be too much. I'm going with Key's original prediction. Well, the one he was thinking about, I'm going with the third round submission for Islam, man. Islam, unlike Khamzat, he can throw punches too. Khamzat really isn't known for throwing punches and having a good striking game. Where Islam can strike and wrestle. So he's coming at you in both ways. Whereas Khamzat, you know, most guys, they're not scared of his stand up. We saw him try to stand the bang with Gilbert and we saw what happened. You see he didn't want to stand the bang with Tony Holland, without being Holland, because he knew what would happen. So immediately he took him down and submitted him. Islam, man, I think this dude is the real deal. I know in 2022, I want to say both me and Keys predicted that him or Hamzat would be champions. And Islam became champion at the end of 2022. So he did wreck our prediction on that. But I got Islam, man. I got Islam, Keys. I think Volkanovski can give him some problems. Volkanovski can use his speed, kicks, and hand power, and hand speed. But that hand speed don't mean nothing when you're fighting off your back, bro. It don't mean a thing. So, hey, UFC 284 Saturday, two title fights. Me and Keys just gave you our predictions. I don't know what not Keys put them up on Twitter, but I'm not. It is what it is. Hey, any last words, Keys?
Yeah, and to that point, I didn't put our predictions up on Twitter this time. I thought change it up. I actually putting up quotes from the show this time, kind of vibing with that a little
bit.
I'm putting up some sound bites from the show, and I kind of really like this. It's kind of fun, man. I'm liking that because instead of the prediction, you're getting like whole chunks of exactly what we're saying, so you can get a bit more of the analysis. You know, I mean, get a little bit more overall. You know, what I mean, instead of the prediction. So, I mean, but hey, if you heard the show, you got our predictions. I probably won't post up the predictions, but we got, you know, I got pieces of the show there, so go read those, and you know, those are pretty much, you know, more detailed predictions right there. So go check those out, man. If you don't see the show, you get those sound bites from what we were saying.
Yeah, man, I'm checking you out right now. Yeah, bro, I like that. I like that better than putting the predictions out, because the dude should give us our analysis and what we think, you know, outside of just making a prediction. So, yeah, man, I'm with this. Hey, that was a good look right there. So, everybody have a great weekend. Take care of yourself. Take care of each other. Super Bowl is Sunday. Keys, who you got in the Super Bowl, man? Philadelphia or Kansas City?
Let me see. Philadelphia. Who they got over there? Who's the quarterback? I know you got Patrick Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes going back to his feet. Versus Jalen Hurts.
Jalen Hurts. I think I'm going with the Chiefs, man. I feel like I was talking to some of my guys, and you know, they watch sports. They watch NFL like that. And they were telling me that, you know, in that AFC championship game, that it seemed like the refs were, you know, they were holding it down for the Chiefs. You know, that's what my guys were telling me, that it seems like a lot of the big games that Kansas City goes into, it seems like the refs are kind of helping them out, you know, win some of these big games. So, plus that dude Mahomes, he's solid, bro. He seems like a pretty good quarterback. So, I think he'll make it happen, bro. I think the Chiefs will take this one.
I think the Eagles had a better team, but the Chiefs got the better quarterback. I'm going with Kansas City, 31-30. Patrick Mahomes brings them back. They kick a game-winning field goal to win the game, 31-30. I got the Chiefs, man. Everybody have a great weekend this weekend. Take care of you. Take care of yourselves. Hey, if you're going to go out, be responsible. Don't drink and drive. As always, Lena Key signing out. And we're always in the show with them. Peace.